Yeah. Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mine.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mine.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Poker session 18 of 150. Not how I drew it up. The session. At around 10 p.m. on Saturday, February 19th, 2022, I sat down in a 2-5 no-limit game at Ocean's 11. The first note is there's a player at the other end of the table that has made an appearance in this podcast recently. He's a good player and was refusing to straddle. And I mentioned that the old me would have tilted hard and been kind of an asshole. And the new me, the older me, just thinks this is probably a misunderstanding or this guy not realizing how good the straddle is for the game, how important it is to reduce the percentage of rake, and so on. And I just kind of didn't really go after him. And then I went to the bar because I'm a live pro and we go to the bar. And he was in there, and then I ended up outside talking to someone, and I was talking to him, and it turned out he was this really cool dude who was a scientist, and he reminded me of NeuroNerd, someone in the DGAF community that's just, you know, pretty special to the community. And it was just really cool, and I kind of explained the straddle thing, like, look, dude, you're good. You know, I know you're a scientist, but you're good. You got to straddle it. That's what the people want. You got to do it. And he got it. And, anyways, he's in the game here maybe a month later, and he doesn't acknowledge me. So maybe he was more overserved than I was, or maybe it's just some kind of, like, social nervousness or anxiety, whatever you want to call it. But that happens. Well, you'll be like best buds with someone at the bar, and then like you'll see them again, and they will just kind of look away. Who knows? But in my game, on my direct right is the triathlete pro, and so he and I are having a conversation because the whole table is having conversations. It's like, the people, I'm in the 7 and the 8 and the 9 are having a conversation. The 1 and the 2 are having people. It's just a very social game. It's not, poker should be a social game, but this is too social. People don't care about playing poker. No poker is going on and everything's moving slowly, not because of the dealer at this point, but because people would just rather talk. No one's trying to win money. And so that's okay. You can't just, you know, get in a game and just say, everyone shut the fuck up and start battling and let's go. So what are you going to do? You just wait for the game to get better. Try and make it better if you can. And I finally play a hand. I defend 6-3 of diamonds. The scientist opened and the shitty putter called and I defended, from the big blind. 6-3 of diamonds. And who's the shitty putter? I was just some guy who won a big pot, and it led to him telling the table how he sucks at putting, and he lost some money that day on short putts. So he's the shitty putter. And yeah, so the scientist opens, the shitty putter calls on the button. I defend 6-3 of diamonds. It comes 5-5-4, two hearts and a diamond, and I lead here. I don't always lead here. You can do other stuff, but I like putting the preflop raiser in a pickle. I like you lead it. Now, what's he going to do with, like, king, queen? He can't call. We've got someone behind, and then the guy behind has the weaker range, and then you might just take it down here, and you can also obviously barrel on a lot of cards. And if you don't take it down, well, the scientist folds and the shitty putter calls. Okay, so let's have a good turn card. We're open-ended. We got a backdoor flush draw. The turn's a jack of clubs. 5-5-4, two hearts and a diamond. Turn jack of clubs. And I don't know anything about the shitty putter other than he sucks at putting. So I think it's spewy to lead again on this paired board. I'd be happy to check, and if he bets and I don't think he's strong, check raise. I like that better than leading again. I check and he checks. Okay, so I think he's probably pretty weak as well. Maybe as a four, maybe as a hand like pocket deuces, pocket eights, something like that. And the river is a queen, so of clubs. And so nothing gets there, and nothing that calls the flop really hits. So I use this opportunity to overbet the pot. It's my first hand that I've played, and this guy doesn't know me, and he thinks for a little bit and folds. And I win a pot with six high. Nothing amazing, but and not a big pot, but I play the hand okay, I think. And then people limp. I overlimp with Jack 10 offsuit. And then someone 3Xs from the big blind. And that's just a weird thing to do. And, you know, we just call and it's four ways. I'm in position with Jack 10 offsuit. And I announce that I have pocket kings. Why do I do this? Because the hand before, I think I said I had pocket queens when someone asked. The triathlete pro, he gets it like you win a pot and he says, oh, you had it, right? And you're like, yep, I had the set. You just got to, you know, dumb up the game, get people gambling. So I now that I have pocket kings, which obviously I never have here. And anyways, it comes queen 9X. They check to me. I'll get open-ended, jack 10 offsuit. I just bet a little bit and they all fold. Okay, and it's just no resistance. I'm up like, you know, whatever, a small handful of redbirds at this point. We'll make the game bigger. Soon, but the game's just pretty tame to start out with, and then the new dealer, there's a dealer change, and Dr. Kevorkian gets in the box, and that's just a game killer. As a dealer, he just probably means well, probably is a nice enough guy, doesn't deal hands, pauses all the time. And he's Dr. Kevorkian. He just kills the game in all the action. There wasn't much action, and now there is none. And so you get one hand out every few minutes, maybe if you're lucky. And I had 8-deuce offsuit in my big blind. Everyone limped. I checked it. It came king, 8-deuce. And it's rainbow, and I checked. They all checked. The turn is a jack with now putting two spades. I bottom two, and I just... no one's going to bet here. It's not the, you want poker to be a social game, but you also want it to be a competitive game, like a friendly competition / social game. You don't want it to be where no one's trying to win pots. They're just playing their hands because unless it's big enough, I guess, where you can just rob and it's good money. But here, like I said, I'm just, I don't want to win $40 pots. I don't. So, and this one's even smaller. It's a limper, but I do decide to bet the turn, hoping someone picked up a jack or a draw because they would call and they wouldn't bet because it's not that kind of game, and they all folded. And it seems like eternity. And finally, there are limpers, and I'm the button with ace-7 offsuit, and God, I could fold. I could overlimp. I raise here to 6X because the game's too slow. And that's not a good excuse, but it's also exactly why I did. It's not a great, you know, ace-7 offsuit sucks. And, you know, the limpers called, and I flopped nothing, and I folded. And whatever. There's too many conversations going on at the table, and I go to take a piss. And I'm thinking, should I just go to the bar and let this game marinate a little bit? Let someone get stuck? And then when people get stuck, they stop talking, and then they start bluffing, and then now someone else gets stuck because they got a bad beat, or now someone's deep and you can take advantage of them. Should I go to the bar and let the game marinate, let it get better, and maybe catch a buzz? Because I've been working so hard on so many different things, and I was spun out when I got here, and I said, no, it's too early for that. Plus, I have a new ride. A new old ride out in the parking lot. It's not my trusty old Lexus out there. It's a hopefully trusty old 4Runner. I've upgraded by getting an older vehicle. And if that makes sense, and I think it does. It can. People, you know about 4Runners. They're the most reliable vehicles ever, and from what I'm told. And so I got this, picked it up on what? I think I picked it up on Thursday. No, I picked it up on Wednesday. And, yeah, so it's my first time driving it to a casino, and I don't even want to have any buzz. I don't know. That's just what went through my mind. And then so come back to the table instead of going to the bar, and there's a deep guy there, and he opens, and I have king 10 of clubs on small blind, and I 3-bet, and he leaves. He racks up. So that's fine. You got to attack the deep stacks, and go ahead, get him out of here. If you, I have, you know, bought in for the max, 1,000 and whatever. I'm up a few bucks, and you know, he went to 20 and I went to 80, and I think you should be defending if you're deep in position, and unless you don't want to battle, then just rack up. And that's what this person did. Let me take a sip of water. So I get king queen offsuit and I open and I get a handful of colors and I flop. Nothing right. That's right. Thank you, Kanye. Any word from sound guy? No? So if it sounds a little bit different, I did purchase the same equipment, recording equipment I have in my granny flat in North County, San Diego, which is really good equipment. Well, I purchased a second set. I figure the podcast has got big enough to do that. And when I'm in Las Vegas, I want to be able to deliver the same sound quality to all of you that I can when I'm in San Diego. And but you can hear a little, I'm in the game room recording, and Kanye's here with me. And sound guy was supposed to be here. He didn't show up. He went to Sophia's, which is just down the street. And it's just a gentleman's club, and for sure sound guy's a gentleman. And but the show must go on, right? If your sound guy is a degenerate, the gentleman, and he's, you know, he just wants to drink and throw ones, that you still got to record your pod. And so that's just me and Kanye today. And yeah, anyways, like I said, there's no poker happening at my table. And it's that old thing, man. It's when you're a teenager or whatever, and your mom says nothing good happens after midnight. It's the exact opposite in poker. Nothing good ever happens before midnight in poker. And it's just tough. If you want to be a pro, you got to play graveyard. Then you can win some money. You know, it's shorthanded. People are stuck. They're wasted. They're on other substances and what have you. But you got a bunch of friendly people just sitting around, you know, limping and folding, and I don't know. I defended someone open, and someone called, and I defended with pocket fours. And this time, I flopped. Nothing right. You are correct, sir. So, and that's no big deal, you know. You're going to flop nothing often when you play poker, but those situations where you got the little pocket pair, those are just such great situations pre-flop. And, you know, obviously you're going to flop nothing way more often than you're going to bink a set, but you got to tell the story if you're a storyteller. And it's time for a worst play nominee. So for this show, this drop, I'm going to give you two worst play nominees, and you can decide which one's worse. And I'll weigh in after I review them with what I think is which one was worse. So I'm not playing great poker on this night, and you're just not going to. As busy as I am, and short on sleep, and fucking single parent, all that, you're just not going to. You're gonna play some hands well, and you're gonna fucking butcher some hands. And I don't know if this is a butcher job. I'll let you decide. I open with pocket nines. The blinds call. Okay. And I have the nine of diamonds. And that matters because the flop comes jack, 10, 8 with two diamonds. So I flop open-ended and backdoor flush draw. And now the small blind checks and the big blind leads pot into me, which isn't a lot, right? but leads pot into me, and I'm going to call here, and the small blind folds. That turns a queen of diamonds. I make a straight, I pick up a straight flush draw, and he leads pot again, and this is interesting. He doesn't have ace-king. I don't have to worry about that. So I could be chopping here a decent amount, and if I'm chopping, I'm likely free-rolling because I got the diamond. But also, couldn't this just be a flush? I don't know. I call, and I just don't feel good as I'm releasing the chips. I just feel like this is not going well. And the river's a break, a black deuce, and he leads about pot again. And again, this was a single-raised pot pre-flop, so it's not huge money or anything. But I go in the tank. I really want to fold. It just seems like someone who plays a flush, like they just bet, which is a decent way to play it. I didn't get any Hollywood job from this person. And usually you'll get a Hollywood job if someone makes a huge hand. You'll get some sign of a Hollywood job, right? Even if it's subconscious, they'll do something to sell you on them not being super strong. This guy was just firing. And so there are other players who will make their big hand and there's fire because they're nervous or whatever. And I don't know. I called and he had fucking ace three of diamonds. He turned the nuts. And I really thought I should fold the river. And I could even almost fold the turn, even though I got the straight flush draw and the straight. But I just felt pretty gross about it. And I don't know. I don't think it's a full-on butcher job. It's, you know, you make a straight. It's kind of a cooler, but I like to hold myself to a higher standard, right? I've been in fucking poker forever. I've been a live pro forever. I'm trying to get back to the biggest, toughest games in live poker, which technically aren't super tough games, but they're tough. The players are tough in other ways, not with fundamentals, but with other stuff, concealing what they're doing in reading. They're tough that way, even if they're not fundamentally sound. And so I don't know. I just wasn't happy with this one. That's worst play nominee number one. You open the nines, the blinds call, jack 10-8, two diamonds, you have the nine of diamonds. The big blind, after the small blind checks, the big blind leads pot, which is, you know, small, and you call, and then you turn, the turn's queen of diamonds. You turn a straight with a straight flush draw. Yeah, but so what? If he leads again, and if he has the flush here, well, then you're just, that's lame. You're just trying to hit a one-outer, and I don't know. I think you can call not knowing your opponent. And then the river, when he pots again, he didn't give any Hollywood job, but also people just don't have that much heart to, like, what do you have? Like, what are your bluffs here? And, of course, you don't need players to have bluffs. They can have fucking spazzy value hands that are worse than a straight. They just don't know what they're doing. And I don't know. I think it's a fold, but I called and whatever. And then I straddled and I defended three ways again with a small pocket pair. And Kanye, I got this one. You call Sophia's and see if what's going on over there. Okay. All right. So I flopped nothing again. So what? I'm a little impatient at the poker table, if you didn't notice. And I now the triathlete pro opens and I three bet. He opens kind of early and I three bet and he's on my direct right and he calls. And it comes 10-10-8. And he checks, and I check. It was a straddled pot, so there's already a decent amount of money in there. He's not folding better than ace-king. And I don't think he's calling with worse, so I just check back. You know, against some players, you're going to want to bet small for certain reasons. He's not wide preflop at all. And so a lot of it is pocket pairs and that's the bulk of his range, right? And so anyways, I just check back, and the turn's a 9, and he checks, and 10, 10, 8, 9. It would be silly for me to start betting now, I think. I check back. The river's an ace, and he checks, and now I bet $10 into, because my hand just, if I bet here, it just is what it looks like. When people check back twice, they have showdown value, which is often a big ace, and I got the biggest ace, and I bet $10, and, you know, just a really small bet. And he 15x's it. He goes to 150, and I almost fold. I don't think he's bluffing. I'm not going to trick myself into, oh, I induced this. No, because He's just not going to get out of line against me out of position. And I almost fold, and then I just say, like, that's just too ridiculous. And I call, and he has the same hand, ace, king. It's, I don't know, it's just, you know, the 10-10, 8 flop. I could definitely bet the flop, but I just thought, against most opponents, I would. Against him, I just thought he's so narrow after opening and calling the 3-bet out of position. He's so pocket pair heavy that it's just lighting money on fire by betting the flop. And yeah, it's debatable. Whatever. And now the player on my left is named Dave. He's been talking to the 9 seat. They're just having the best chat of ever. And it's just some woman who enjoys poker. And they're just talking about tennis and this and that. And neither are interested in the game at all. But I know this guy, Dave, and he, you know, he's a pretty funny guy. He's told me some funny stories at the bar. And when I sat down, maybe the lady got up for a second, and he told me that he came in the night before and played 2-3, and he won a $2,100 pot. And he said he got aces 3 times in an hour. And the third time, he overset someone. And that was a legend, a fucking Ocean's 11 legend, meaning legendary whale. And I was like, wow, that must be nice. Well, I'm writing my notes about that ace king hand in my phone where I chopped. We probably both lost money on the hand, or give or take. I guess the blinds paid for the rake. Anyways, you know what I mean. And now this fucking person is kicking me. The person on my left is kicking me as I'm writing notes in my phone. And the first kick, you think, oh, he just, you know, his foot slipped. And then the second one is like, what the fuck? Why is this guy trying to get my attention? And it's similar if you watched the cheating scandal, or not cheating, but peeking at cards scandal on Husker Casino Live with Skills Rocks. When he, and I think this is an okay reference. I think most of you saw this. When he saw his opponent had turned a straight because he saw his opponent's cards and he had 2 pair, he was kicking the other guy to not bet because he wanted a chance to fill up. Right. Well, that's not what's going on here. We're not colluding. He wants me to look at his hand. And so I look at his hand, and he had open to, I think, 30, or maybe someone limped and he went to 50. So it's 2-5-10. I get the straddle on pretty quickly, even before midnight. And I think he had gone to, what was it, 50? Maybe it was just like 25 or something. And the lady called. And now this pro, the human rights pro is what we'll call him. He was wearing a shirt that had some human rights message. I like human rights, so we'll just call him the human rights pro. And he's very aggressive pre-flop and post-flop and in all stages. And he 3-bets. And so before he 3-bets, or as he's getting ready to 3-bet, this guy's kicking me and showing me the aces. Like, look how lucky, look at this shit. And now the scientist 4-bets the 700. And so this guy on my left, you know, obviously goes all in. He says, okay, I'm all, you know, he gets a little Hollywood job and says, okay, I'm all in. And it folds back to the scientist and he calls. Scientist has kings, he has aces, aces hold. And it's just, it was pretty funny. Like, the last thing I'd be doing is kicking my neighbor, trying to draw attention to my hand in this great spot, but it didn't matter. And this guy, Dave, is great. He thinks Ocean's 11 is a gold mine. And every time I hear about him, he's running like this. And he's literally just sitting at the, he's a solid player and smart and all that, but he's literally just sitting at the table having conversations and waiting for, you know, big hands against slightly less big hands, slightly smaller hands, and fucking just getting all the money. And of course, you're going to think this place is a gold mine. It's just kind of funny. And I'm sure he runs bad sometimes too, but it's pretty fortunate. And it's pretty funny. He's kicking me to show. I'd be like, I wouldn't want to bring, you know, other people are watching. But anyway, it worked out for him. He got all the money. Okay. And then human rights pro bluffs off some to me. I have the ace of clubs on 3-club flop. I bet and he check raises. It was just air, but I bet small. And I turn a club and he bets again and I just call. I have the nut flush. And then the river pairs the board and he checks and I bet small and he snap folds. So he bluffs them off to me and yeah. But then I defend. Red ace 10 and the flop is all clubs. Okay, and I fold. And just kind of, there's a lull. Dr. Kevorkian's not in the box anymore. I think he was only in the box. He wasn't in the box for an orbit. The dealer downs are 40 minutes at Ocean's 11, and I don't know if he got through seven hands. It was brutal. But now I'm, you know, there are functional dealers in the box, and they're not trying to kill the game or you. And I'm just card dead. And then finally, I get pocket nines again, and I raise, and fucking Dave calls. Dave, on my direct left, he calls, and I know he's weak by something he says, which we all do, right? When we're too relaxed, we just give away our hand strength. And it comes ace, king, jack. I have two nines. I check, he checks. The turn's an offsuit eight, so it's Badoogie, and I just bet, $10. I just bet tiny here, and he raises me, and I fold, and he shows ace eight offsuit. So, you know, not running that great with nines or any other hand so far on this night. And Human Rights Pro takes a break, maybe to go smoke some weed. That would be the assumption. And he comes back, and he's really aggro pre-flop. New pros can be like this. This gets beaten out of everyone eventually, or most people. There are exceptions that are still aggro after all these years, but he posts, and the guy who had the nut flush against me opens to 25. It's a straddle. I'm the straddle, and he opens to 25, which is a weak open, and now this guy, the Human Rights Pro, goes to 85 next act after posting, which he's going to do super wide. It gets back to me, and I'm just bored out of my mind, and I have 9-6 offsuit, and I go to 300 because it's a reasonable spot. Yeah, you'd rather have a better hand than 9-6 offsuit, but you know the first thing is weak, and you know the guy who 3-bet the first thing knew that that was weak, and so then you can go, all right, I'm going to cold 4-bet, and it gets, you know, the guy who opened folds quickly, and it gets back to the Human Rights Pro, and he snap shoves all in. So kind of ran into the top of his range there, I assume, and I don't know. So it's kind of lame, and I didn't feel like I was playing that great. I was sober. I didn't want to catch a buzz because I got a new ride in the parking lot, and that might not make any sense. You shouldn't want to catch a buzz when you're driving anyways, but I usually wait until my buzz has gone away before I drive. But, yeah, so here's another hand that happens. The guy who made the flush, we'll just call him the lucky grinder, because he made a flush when I made a straight, and he opens, and the former prop, there are several former props, but the one that wasn't a fisherman, he goes to 130 from the small blind, and I'm the big blind, I have king, queen, offsuit, and I have a read that he's light. I just do. I'm starting to get locked. I'm a little upset by torching off 300. And so I have king, queen, offsuit. I'm not folding, but I can't fucking 4-bet here because my stack is whack. So I'll be committed. And so I just call, and the guy who opened was obviously weak. We knew it again. And, it's easy to tell. He just opens different when he's weak. And you know, you got 3-bet by Human Rights Pro the time before, and then I called 4-bet with air, and the guy jammed on me. And I would definitely cold 4-bet here if we were deep enough or shallow enough to shove, but stacks are awkward, aka stacks are whack. So I just flat with king queen. I know that the 3-bet is super light. This guy's a pro, and the other guy folds. I'm in position with king queen, and it comes 10-10-3, and he checks, and I bet 120, which is he had gone to 130 preflop. I go to 120 here, and he calls. 10-10-3. Turns a 3. He checks. I bet 240, which I would do with all my overpairs. And he calls, and now I know it's over. I know it's time to give up. River's a 9. He checks. I check back. He had jack 10. He had 3-bet with jack 10 suited. A good hand to 3-bet with. Also a pretty weak hand. And I wanted to 4-bet, and it would have been... I had the read, right? Well, he made a boat, so what are you going to do? I wrote some shit in my phone that is unintelligible. I used to do some work as a forensic assistant, and I would have to, watch some people who had just killed some people give their police interviews, and there would be a document, like, so you could read it, too, while you're watching it. And then when the person that's on meth that just killed someone said something that they couldn't make out what it was, they would just write unintelligible. And that's what I did after this fucking former prop made a boat out of position with Jack 10, and I knew he was late, which is why I continued with King Queen, and I couldn't continue the way I wanted to with a cold four bet because I was too deep, but also, I mean, too deep to jam and too shallow to four bet and play poker. And yeah, so I wrote something unintelligible on my phone. It will is GSGSGWHSHSJS. So you can talk and be unintelligible, and you can also write and be unintelligible. All right, let's go to another hand. I have King Jack, and I raise, and I get two calls, and it is the lady who was having a conversation in the ninth seat and the lucky grinder, the guy who made a flush against me, and I paid him off. And it comes Jack 10X with two clubs. I got top pair. I bet they both call. I think they're both drawing, and the turn's an X, and I bet a lot, and I like this. It's not getting called. It's taxing these draws. If it gets called, you always have the best hand here, but you gotta, they have so many outs. You have two people drawing on Jack 10X, two clubs. You have King Jack. I like it. I bet, and then I bet big. I sized up on the turn because, you know, so many cards are gonna get me, and I wanna, you know, charge them. I'll give them a wrong price to draw. And anyways, I wasn't locked, and then I got locked. I felt like I was locked, but also I felt like I needed to go have a beer. It's just, God, it's not how I drew it up. I wanted this year to be kind of a return to how I played back in the day, like the beginning of my pro career, a little bit, where I go in fresh. I would wake up in the morning, and I would work out, and I would like watch the news, and then I'd work on my game a little bit, and then I'd go to the casino fresh, and I would eat a healthy breakfast, and I would just fucking murk people because my brain was nice and rested, and I was patient. I had all day to play. And so that's kind of what I was, but this is not, you know, playing at the end of the day on you know, I got something to do the next morning already. You know, it's not how I drew it up. So I need a fucking beer. My head hurts, and I'm thinking about playing locked versus not playing locked. And I really think that is, people talk about A game, B game, C game. I don't give a shit what game I'm going to play. All I want to do is be locked. All I want to do is be, you know, I want to be social and fun. And I want to feel like I'm going to crush everyone at the table. And as long as I have that feeling, that like fight in me, that fire, then I'm happy. And that's being locked. And I wasn't for a while at the table. I was also just having conversation and not going for it in pots and like not, you know, and nothing was going my way, obviously. And I was just thinking the best players are locked most of the time. If you watch Garrett Alstein play, his best asset as a poker player is that he doesn't take hands off. And he always thinks he's better than his opponent. And you have to, that's how you have to be. And then you can play your best, and you don't second guess. And interestingly enough, on the game the night before they played, he kind of was unlocked. You know, he was a little passive preflop in some spots, and second guessing himself a lot. And you just rarely see that from him, and that's why he crushes so much. And I was thinking, Trevor Savage plays online. He probably never plays unlocked because you play online and you know you're not locked. You just fucking close your laptop and go for a walk and do something else and then come back. It's not true in live poker. You're there, you drove to the casino, you waited, you got in the game's there, you don't know when to go again. You have to just find ways to get locked when you're unlocked. And that's something I'm going to struggle with forever until my schedule slows down, which I don't see that happening anytime soon. All right. So I went to have a beer and I came back and I started running things. And it's just that buzz, that little buzz. And now you don't overthink anything. You see weakness, go for it. Go for it, go for it. Like 10, 10, 8, you don't check back with ace, king. You just go, right? It's not like you're just spewing. You're just being fearless. And you can do that sober, but you got to get in that mode. And sometimes a quick buzz, I'm kind of running things. And I have pocket jacks now, two red jacks against the human rights pro. And my thing to do is always say I have some hand that's ridiculous. And occasionally, I guess, I'll mix it up and actually say what hand I have. But I forgot what I was saying. Oh, I was saying I have a queen. I always say I have a queen and whatever. I had two red jacks. And it came ace, nine, six. two hearts, and I bet, and he called, and I didn't think he had an ace. And the turn was a brick, but a third heart. So I have a flush draw with jacks, and I bet again, and he called. I bet again small. I mean, you know, I have jacks on ace, nine, six, XX, three hearts, and I have two jacks with a jack of hearts. I'm going for value against, you know, a six or a nine. And he told me he had queen six suited, and the river was a six, and he bombed, and I folded. And you know what he had? Queen six suited. And then you know what I wrote? Fucking bong. And Bong's one of the dealers at Ocean's 11, just someone I go way back with. I just blame everything on, you know, whatever. Fucking Bong, though. Jax, I mean, this guy has queen six on ace nine, six X, three hearts. So he can hit a queen or a six, but it can't be a heart. I don't know. It's kind of unlucky. But I'm playing way more inspired now. Caught this buzz. And another thing you can do when you get back from the bar, I think I had a beer and a cocktail. So a quick 1-2 punch up at the bar. You can also just, like, cut to the bullshit. We need to just make this official. Almost all of us are straddling, or we're all straddling, but we got to make it official because someone's going to sit down and ruin our game. And you do that, and now people can buy in for more. And now they can put on the 20. So it's 2, 5, 10, 20. And suddenly, this California rake, which is so devastating, it's not that devastating. It was devastating when people were opening at $15 or $20, but now they're going to be opening at $80. And it got, four times less devastating by getting the straddle on. Officially make it 2, 5, 10, and now people are putting the 20. And, there are pluses and minuses to drinking while you play poker. You're going to make some bad decisions that you wouldn't if you were sober. You're also going to make the game better, and you're not going to overthink stuff sometimes. So it's gray, like anything else in life. And a note is the guy who busted me at the end of season 4 is not doing great at the other game, which is just a 2-5. Ours is 2-5-10, and he's sitting short. He's just kind of got that look of not running hot. And anyways, I'm going to take a sip of water and tell you about another worst play nominee. Kanye, nothing? Oh, they said he's there? All right, so I guess we'll just go pick him up after this? Okay, hold on. Worst play nominee, number two. The Human Rights Pro opens, and two people call, and I call with 5-4 clubs in the small blind. I could just fold it, but if I'm not locked, I think I'll just fold here because it's going to be really hard to make this call profitable. But anyways, I call, I gamble a little bit with the 5-4 clubs and the small blind. It's four ways. And it comes ace 10-10 with one club. And I check, and the Human Rights Pro snap bets 50 into, you know, maybe 120. And the other two players fold. And ace 10-10, it's one club. There's no flush draw. I fold. What the fuck am I folding for? No one bets an ace on here. They don't snap bet an ace. Anyone good will not snap bet an ace on ace 10-10 in a four-way pot. They will check everything, right? They shouldn't even have like a betting range. Their only bets are going to be gut shots and error, right? And anyways, and this guy's super laggy, and I should have called. I should have called with 5-4 of clubs on ace 10-10 with a club. And he had 8-9 of clubs. He showed his hand. But before that, I knew it. As soon as I folded, like as soon as my cards went towards the muck, I was like, what am I doing? I'm not playing poker. If you are going to gamble and play some hands from the small blind, you know, that's a tough spot to play poker. But if you are, you can't. This is a gimme. The guy bets 50 with two players left on ace 10-10. What's he repping? Zero hands of value. So you got to float here. And I didn't. And now I was mad at myself. I wrote lame ass shit. And then I wrote time for best play. And we'll call this best play nominee number one. So Human Rights Pro is doing well. And he opens. And I defend with King Deuce offsuit. Because it's time to take this shit to the streets. And I defend the big blind to a 3X very liberally. Anyways, it comes king 8-7, two hearts. Okay, I got top pair. I check. He checks back. Okay, good. He has some showdown value, but he doesn't have a king. The turn is a 4. So it puts a straight out there. The 5-6 got there. I'm not worried about him having that. That's a hand he would bet on the. But it also, he has to be a little worried about it. So I bet half pot here. I don't want him going anywhere with his showdown value, which it might be ace high. It might be an 8. It might be a 7. And he calls. And the river completes the flush. The 3 of hearts for a board of king 8-7, 2 hearts. Offsuit 4, 3 of hearts. Straight got there, flush got there, and I have top pair, no kicker. What should I do? Well, what have I done in the session? I cold 4-bet to 300 and snap folded to his jam. I've done a lot of, you know, the stuff I always do when I play poker, which is max apply pressure. So I overbet. I want to make this look like a bluff. I overbet, and he snaps. One of those embarrassing snaps because I turn over the king deuce offsuit and he mucks. So I always love when I overbet and someone, you know, they know this is so polarized. This is the nuts or nothing, except it's not. It's top pair fucking deuce kicker. Kicker doesn't even play. It's, I felt good about it. And, you know, against a guy like this, you kind of have the best, you kind of have to have the best hand. But, you know, I definitely won the maximum with King Deuce offsuit there. Check the flop. You don't donk into the fucking guy. No, you check. And then he checks back. You know he has showdown value worse than King. And then the 4 gets there, completes the straight. And so you bet. You can't overbet now because he's going to let go of some stuff. And you bet half and he calls. And the river's a 3, completes the flush. But now it just looks like such bullshit if you overbet. And you got top pair, and you know what he has. And this is one of those cases where you do know what he has, and you get to win the max. I don't know. I felt good about that. And I'd not felt great about how I played up to this point. And then I missed a nut flush draw in a fantastic spot. And you can use your imagination to what that was. You know, there are fantastic spots where you know if you hit, you're getting all the money. And now the guy who busted me at the end of season 4 is all in at the other table for just a few $100. So I don't take any, you know, solace in that, or if that's the right word, satisfaction in that, joy in that. But it's just a note. This guy fucking busted me up at the end of season 4, the last hand. I mean, he 4-bet jacks when I had queens and it came jack high. Good for him. But, yeah, it's just a note. So now there's a guy on my left. Dave's gone. Dave had those aces. And that's what he plays, his aces against kings. And that's what the really good grinders do. And anyway, he's gone. He won enough. He'll go have, you know, enjoy a beer, whatever, enjoy his night, Saturday night. Good for him. Well, now there's this other guy who's more of a gambler type, right? And he just lost a fucking big one to the human rights pro. And who knows what it was, but it was a tilting hand, right? It was a cooler of some sort. And so now he reloads for, I don't know how much. He only reloads for, let me see here. He reloads for like, or he has $700 left. He just lost a monster pot. He has like $700 left. And the triathlete pro opens at 25. That's what he opens to in 2-5-10. In the cutoff, I have 2 queens on the button. I do 3-bet a lot, but I'm not going to do it here because what am I? I'm going to be isolating the one. Well, there are 2 pros aside from, there's probably like 4 pros, 5 pros other than me, but like this guy's good and he's one of the better ones, the triathlete pro. So I don't need to isolate him and I don't want to shut out the small blind who's probably pretty fucking steamed up right now. And so he goes to 100. I flat the 25. He goes to 100. The human rights guy is in there somehow. Cold calls the 100 and triathlete pro calls the 100. And it's beautiful. And now it's time to let the cat out of the bag. I go to 400, and the guy goes all in for 300 more, and the other 2 fold. And the guy who just got, you know, had 700 left, just lost that big pot. And when he goes all in for, you know, he doesn't hate when I go to 400. He goes all, I know I'm fucked, and I am. He has kings, I have queens, and he wins. But before he wins, it's pretty funny. Human Rights Pro says, do you guys want to run it twice to keep the game going? And he's thinking that the other guy had, what was he talking about? Oh, he was thinking that I had the kings and the other guy had the queens. He didn't want the guy he just beat out of a big pot to bust. It was pretty funny. It was unintentionally hilarious. I don't know if I told it right, but he was thinking, he was trying to protect the player that he wanted in the game. So, do you guys want to run it twice to keep the game going? And they said, oh, never mind. He has the Kings. That's okay. Well, I thought it was pretty funny. And then there's another gambler in the game, came from blackjack. And it's after midnight, so you can actually play poker. And he lost a bunch in blackjack, and he is in there, and he gambles, right? And he made it, I 3-bet, and he 4-bet, and I called with jacks in position. And it came King XX, all hearts. And I had two jacks with a jack of hearts. And he bet, and I called. And he's gamble, action, bluff, everything. And the turn is a king. And now he fires again big. And this should be a bluff. But I just don't think, I think it's just ace king with the ace of hearts. And he's just a little out of sorts. And like, I lay it down. And he shows me ace king with the ace of hearts. So I'm locked again. And I lost, you know, a decent amount with jacks against ace king. And, you know, 300 went in pre-flop. And then I called the flop with, you know, you got to call once. King XX, all hearts, you have two jacks. And then turns a king. That's a good card for jacks. And you're going to be inclined to continue here. But I just had a read. And he was only two seats away from me. And I have good reads on people who are close. And he showed me. And then I squeezed huge with ace four offsuit. And I got three callers, which is funny. Came king seven, king jack seven. We all checked. And turns a five. And I put a gentle bomb out there. So I bet a big amount, very gently. And it got through. And I said, I can't repay you the favor of showing that you made a good fold. I will if you ever make a good fold, and I'm not trying to be a dick. People do this all the time where they'll say, good fold, and they'll show. And then the next hand that happens, I'm bluffing them. What do? Like, I can't show you anything. I had ace four offsuit. And it was nice to win that pot. And then I 3-bet with 10-9 of clubs, four-way action, and I went to 120, and a 10-9 of clubs, four-way action, came 4-3-3, two spades and a heart. Okay, next note is death, and I didn't die, but I just wasn't getting cards for a while, and then I, someone limps, and I ISO to 50, I often ISO to 40, but when it looks like I'm tilted, I'll go bigger, and I went to 50, and Human Rights Pro goes to 210 out of position, and he's very wide, but I just thought he was strong. I wanted to fold ace-queen to him pre-flop in position. I didn't. And it came king-jack-9. He checked. I checked back. Just give me a 10 one-time dealer. The dealer did not. The dealer put an X out there. And he bet 300. And I think he probably just had a hand like pocket kings. And, yeah, I folded. And so it's time for my best play. Or best play nominee. Am I doing nominees for best play? Who gives a shit? This is what might have been my best play. It was. This was my best play. So, I said there's only one. No, there's like, it's all pros and like maybe two or three gamblers. But, not all pros are created equally. And anyways, the Fisherman former prop opens in the Human Rights Pro. 3-bets out of position. And we're playing 2-5-10-20. So we got, this is 10-20. Like, no one there would play 10-20. That's scary. But all of them will play 2-5-10-20. And that's beautiful because the chips are still red. The stacks are still the same. And so what? The stacks are pretty deep because people have been gambling and rebuying and gambling and rebuying. And so I'm the 20 and Fisherman Prop opens and the Human Rights Pro 3-bets out of position to, I think he went to like 220 or something. And I went to 500. And why am I cold 4-betting? I had ace jack offsuit. Why am I cold 4-betting this hand? Well, because against most people in this situation, I would fold the ace jack offsuit. There's been an open by a solid player and a 3-bet by a guy who 3-bets a lot, but he's also a pro. You just got to let go of the ace jack offsuit. If calling here is the worst because now you might bring in the other guy and you're going to be in position if you can get the opener out. And so that if you are going to play, you want to cold 4, and I do want to play. I think this guy's wide enough. And ace jack offsuit can be dominated, but the hands that dominate it, one of them is going to shove, ace king. The other one's going to fold. Ace queen obviously is probably going to fold out of position. Even against me, going to 500 here is just strong with a solid opener. And I just really liked it. I think you can, when things aren't going your way, you can just talk yourself into, like tight guy, solid player opens and this guy goes to 210 or 220 or whatever. I got ace jack. No, I'm going to be aggressive. I'm going to put in the cold four bet to 500. Clear. Yeah, I could run into an all-in hand from the solid player, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to have to call him, and I do not have to call the human rights pro if he shoves because we're deep enough. Stacks are no longer super whack. They're like, you know, 2,400 effective, okay? So I go to 500. The opener folds, and I had some read that he, you know, he's a solid player, but I had some read that he didn't have a monster, and all that goes into it, right? I'm talking about weighing variables. Well, the guy opened, did he give up some sort of weakness? If he did, that makes this four bet, it puts it, you know, on the board as something you might want to do. Anyways, it's heads up. We got a 1,000 and something in the middle, and I have ace jack offsuit, and the flop comes 10-9-6 with two spades. And I've been working, and I'm tired, and I, you know, had a beer and a cocktail a little while ago, and like, it's easy when this guy checks you to put out a continuation bet. And I'm in favor of putting out continuation bets in general after I cold four bet. But this guy is so sticky, so aggro, that it would be bad for me to bet my hand here because this flop 10-9-6 two spades favors him. And it just would be bad. And likely I'm in trouble, right? It's just a bad flop. It's time to shut it down. And you just got to know when it's time to shut down. And maybe you'll bink. Maybe you'll fucking bink, right? But he just is almost always ahead on this flop given preflop action. And I check back. I almost bet. I check. If I bet, it's devastation. I check. And the turn card, because the dealer, whoever it was, wasn't Bong for sure, was some angelic soul, put a jack out there, a red jack. Oh my God, if this isn't the greatest card, obviously you don't want it to be an ace. An ace is too obvious, and you know, on the off chance he flatted ace king or ace queen, but you just don't want it to be an ace. A jack is the best card. It doesn't complete the flush, and what it does is it puts a Broadway draw out there for ace king and ace queen, the most likely hands you have here. And you don't have them. You actually have top pair, top kicker now. And he checks. And what to do? Well, I'm going to bet. I bet 650 because I can rep that I just picked up a gut shot, two overs and a gut shot. And he jams all in. And I think, you know, when I decided to bet, I knew there was a chance he could have flopped a set, right? But if someone flopped a set on 10-9-6 two spades and their opponent with over 1,000 in the middle checked back the flop, the turn's a jack, they're always leading. They're leading 100% of the time because they don't know that I'm always going to bet my two overs and a gut shot. So they're always leading. They're at least thinking about leading. He didn't. So ace-jack is good here. And so that's when I bet, I just wanted him, you know, I was happy when he went all in, and I just kind of, you know, thought for a second and then said, no, I already decided, I'm in there, snapped it off. He had two sevens, and I held. And that's nice to win like a 5K pot with one pair, right? It's not bad. Ace jack on 10-9-6, jack, get it all in there. Yeah. And so now I'm unstuck. And when I win a big pot like this, I try and put my foot down. You'll see, this is another thing most good pros do, is they put their foot down, try and get some momentum going. I squeezed twice, and I got jammed on both times. Fuck. And now the game's getting bigger and bigger. Some guy said, can I buy him for 5K? I said, you can buy him for as much as you want. And I thought he was joking. He bought him for 5K. It's just the game is getting big, and I'm getting so fucking tired. And then I squeeze again to 100, and the former prop, the fisherman prop, goes to 400 in the blind, and that's a strong hand. And I fold two tens, and then I lose another one, and then I have 10-9 of hearts, and I flop nothing, and I never have a hand again in this game that's great, and I'm just getting sleepy, and it's 5 a.m. It's time for me to go. I played for 7 hours, And I won about enough for three trips to Las Vegas. Airfare, parking. Yeah, about three trips. And that's not bad. Let's do a check of the countdown to 2023 scoreboard. Let's check it out after week five. Is that right? No, this is week six. Damn it. Okay, so sound guy, when he was compiling my notes, he wrote week five instead of week six. And he's not here. He's making it rain. Good for him. Anyways, I played 14 hours this week. I played 7 on this night when I was exhausted going in, and that helped. So I played 14, which is just one below quota, and we're at 85 hours on the year, and the pace is 90, so we're only 5 off pace. And I want to get to 750 hours this year, which would be something, given that I drop a, you know, something on this podcast 3 times a week and sometimes 4, like this week's 4, and I'm a commentator, and you already know all the other bullshit. I just do a lot. And so I'm trying to get to 750. I'm only 5 off pace. Not bad. This week, I had 2 losses and 1 win. So that means I got minus 5 points in the wins column. That's okay. It's nice. After you lose the first 2, it's nice to get that to save the week. You don't want to get minus 15 points for a week. Minus 5 is a lot more palatable. And so we're at 50 out of 30. We're 20 points ahead of pace in the quest to get to 250 points this year in wins, which means win 2 out of 3 sessions on average. And we're 14-4 on the year. So pretty good start. Let's see what happened with the patrons. I'll tell you what happened. E signed up. E, the 5th letter of the alphabet, signed up. Thank you, E. That's 4 points. Dr. Origami came in with a straddle. That's 4 more points. Thank you, Dr. Origami. Then Z, the 26th letter of the alphabet, Ryan, Michael, and Mike P signed up as well. So 16 points there. We got 6 new patrons, no cancellations. That's 24 points on the board. I fucking love it. We're the pace right now for patrons is 72. We need to get, you know, about 3 patrons a week, I think. Is that right? And net 3 new ones, and we have 140 points already. So I really do love that this is the one carrying us this year so far, because this is my salary. And if I ever can get this podcast out to enough people that enjoy it and just have them kick down the 422 to get all the old content, all the interviews with their favorite poker players, you know, Garrett Adelstein, Matt Berkey, Doug Polk, Marley Cordero, and just so many more. Then if my salary gets good enough to where I'm not super stressed financially, well, then this podcast gets even better. And I think it's getting better as I'm starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel financially. I'm starting to get my sense of humor back. And anyways, let me be comfortable in life and see what happens then. I don't know. Hopefully we'll see hopefully that'll happen soon. In months, if not like in a year or so. So thank you all you new patrons, and of course all you loyal longtime patrons. And let's check out Poker Rags. Gail in Venice, Florida ordered something off of the DGAF page. And you just go on pokerags.us, click on Team Poker Rags. O8 Grinder has some amazing fucking designs. But if you want to put points on my board, you just click on DGAF, and there's a bunch of designs. Cockroach Mentality, and you know, that's one I think I'll be wearing the first time I play on stream, because I do want to be lighthearted and fun on stream. But if you do embark on an impossible comeback, and I touched upon this in the lead up, which was for patrons only, delivered on the same day as this that you're listening to now, you do have to be a cockroach in life. And I guess everyone has to be a cockroach at times, and I've had to be a cockroach a ton in the last 5 years. That means you just, nothing goes your way, and like you got, you know, you just, but you won't die, you just keep coming back. And anyways, so Gail in Venice, Florida put a point on the board. Thank you, Gail. Nicholas in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin put 2 points on the board. Thank you, Nicholas. And Jeff in Apex, North Carolina, longtime supporter, put 2 points on the board as well. So 5 points on the week, and we're at 14 points out of 51. So we're lagging here. That's on me, and I need to do a better job of getting you know, the message out that we have all these good designs, and I'll rep some of the designs on stream, and I'm sure that'll help. And anyways, let's check the important score, the countdown to 2023, because a lot of people, and no one more than me, wants to see this podcast live on another year. But you got to justify your work, right? When you're an adult. If you're a kid and you got no kids or whatever, who cares? Do what you love as long as you can. But if you got to pay people back and set your kids up for college funds and do all those, you know, normal shit parents do, you got to justify your passion. And that's why I set goals every year, and the Nevada Gaming Commission works with me to set up the scoreboard and whatever. So if we get to 2023 points by the deadline this year, which I believe is December 20th, maybe it's the 19th, well, then we're going to have sessions in 2023, and that'll mean things went well. And so it's going to be really high stakes, hopefully, if there is a season 6. So anyways, on the countdown to 2023, the pace right now is 243 points, and we're at 289. So it's a great start. We got a little cushion, but we also have a sweat. Anyone that's been around poker knows we have a fucking sweat. The doom switch could happen at any moment, could start losing a bunch of sessions. Some, you know, patrons every month, there's declines and whatever, but good start. I appreciate that. Thanks to all of you. And yeah, if you're not a patron yet, I recommend it. Even if you get plenty of spew from the public feed and you don't want over 800 hours of spew, the community is insane. And yeah, I mean, I probably talk about the community more in the patron only drops, but you get membership to DGF community. Not bad for $422 a month. Okay, until next time. Peace.
Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF Community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF Poker Player and sign up to become a patron today.